You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, September 15th, 2025. Grandpa Dan with another edition of the Daily Mail Monday of the Daily Nationalist here on RadioAlbion.com. And I want to apologize as we get started because we're mostly going to do Charlie Kirk stuff today. And I didn't want to. And I know y'all are probably sick of hearing about it too. But here's the reality. We had football and a Hollywood Awards show over the weekend. So when you eliminate those along with any stories about the royal family, this was pretty much it. Now, I've got a non-Charlie Kirk story that we may get to at the very end, but it's give or take whether we'll get to that. So again, we're going to, you know, this stuff is going to be related to this, and because I basically didn't have any choice. And I apologize. I know y'all are probably sick of hearing about it, but I think maybe we'll have some, you know, other angles and takes that might still make this somewhat informative and entertaining. So our first story headline here, assassin Tyler Robinson wrote a note saying, "I have the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk and I'm going to take it," FBI boss says. Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin, Tyler Robinson, wrote a note saying he was going to take out the conservative commentator before he shot him dead, according to FBI Director Kash Patel. "I have the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it," the note read. Patel said on Monday morning during an appearance on Fox News. The note was written before the shooting. It was in the suspect's partner's home, Patel said. "We have since learned the note, even though it was destroyed, we have found forensic evidence of the note, and we have confirmed what the note said because our aggressive interview posture, the FBI." Patel did not clarify whether the note was handwritten or digital or how it was recovered. Well, if it was a handwritten note and they burnt and it was destroyed, I don't see how they forensically got it back. So it was a digital note. You know, we always start from the fundamental standpoint that we do know, and that is the media and the government always lie to us. So, you know, not saying this guy is some innocent, you know, person who didn't do nothing wrong, not saying any of that, but we do know that they're always lying to us. We just, the track record is impeccable in this regard. So we naturally have to look at these things with a skeptical eye. And when you come right out with, "Oh, well, we got a note where he says he did it. He was going to do it. He intended to do it. The note was destroyed, but we were able to recover it." Well, obviously, again, if it was a written note and it was destroyed, how was it recovered? So this to me implies it was something written on the computer and then deleted. But you know, who recovered it? In other words, look, to put these things quite bluntly, these people could come into your home, setting aside the topic and who we're talking about, just as a general discussion. Do you have any doubts the FBI could come into your home with you being accused of a crime, whatever that crime might be, but especially if it's a high-profile crime? These people can come into your home, seize your computer, your laptop, your phone, tablet, whatever the hell you use. Do you have any doubt that they could put whatever they wanted to on there? Again, we're supposed to just trust these people when they have a track record like they do. And like I say, it's not like you can say, this is definitely not true, but you look at their track record and you have to, at the very minimum, healthy skepticism is warranted. They can come and look, once they get a hold of your electronic devices, they can put whatever the hell they want to on there and say it was yours. That's a reality. I'm not saying that's what they are doing here, But it is a possibility. That is just a very reality. Because if they do that, who are you going to be? You know, who's going to say otherwise? Now, as usual, I'm going to kind of skip through this article. I'm not going to sit here and bore y'all by reading the entire thing. Utah Governor Spencer Cox noted that Robinson disliked Kirk and may have been radicalized online. I think it's a big red flag of where all this is going. Because I saw a news blurb the other day, and I haven't seen it since. But supposedly Trump had come out or said something to somebody along the lines of, we need a Charlie Kirk law. They're already bringing this up. Now, those of you that are old enough to be adults when 9/11 came around and the Patriot Act and all that, these are events. Not saying it's all a hoax or it's all fake, but regardless of the level of truth involved with what they're telling us happened, excuse me. These are events. 9/11 was an event. JFK assassination was an event. And by an event, I mean a turning point. You have a stage. There's many events, and they're coming closer and closer together, it seems to me. And you have an event. This is an event. So something is going to come from that. There's going to be, you know, things when you have an event. And again, by event, I don't mean it's staged. I'm not implying it's staged. It's a hoax. I'm saying these are a turning point event. And whenever we have these, things reliably change after the event. And I have yet to see things change for the better. They always say they're going to change for the better. Going back to 9/11, it was an event. And one of the hallmarks of this event, and there were many, but one of the hallmarks was the passing of the Patriot Act, which they were able to sell everybody because this was going to be to protect everyone from the Islamic terrorists. Remember that. What was the main victim of this legislation? Well, I would say the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, where you can't get searched for no probable cause. It went out the window. Their probable cause was the fact that you want to get on an airplane at all, so you're presumed guilty before you've even done anything. It's worth noting that all of the TSA security and these other things that came about as a result of that have not stopped a single Islamic terrorist, which is curious, but they sold it to people. And the idiots went along and cheered it and rah, rah, we got to do, look, we can't be talking about rights when we're under attack. America's under attack. The Muslims want to destroy our way of life and we got to fight back. We can't be having no panty waste. The result is everybody's Fourth Amendment rights went out the window. They have legalese arguments of why that's justifiable. You don't have a right to fly on an airplane. If you don't want to be unreasonably searched, then just don't go fly, whether that's practical for you or not. My point here is that when you have one of these events, the results are never good. Now, he says that this guy, this Robinson, the alleged perpetrator, may have been radicalized online. Like I said, I saw a news blurb and Trump is talking about we might need a Charlie Kirk Act. People are starting already said we need a Charlie Kirk Act. And from what I read of this, and again, it's curious to me, this floated out there and disappeared like almost instantly. And they're saying this Charlie Kirk Act would be like, of course, again, it's being framed just as 9/11. The Patriot Act was framed as being targeted towards Islamic terrorists. They said, oh, this will finally hold the media accountable for their misinformation. Do you believe that? Because if you do, sweet summer child, bless your heart, I don't know what to tell you. If you believe that something like that is going to be targeted at the mainstream media, you're out of your mind. They said this would, and I'm doing this off the top of my head because it disappeared. I said, oh, but the media, this will hold platforms such as Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, whatever, and content creators themselves accountable for spreading disinformation, misleading disinformation, falsehoods, lies. It'll hold them accountable for doing that. Again, if you think that's going to be directed at the mainstream media, I don't know where you've been. I don't think y'all think that. I think y'all are sitting here nodding because I don't believe my audience is stupid. It is not hard to figure out. So just as, and again, this is hypothetically, I'm not sure what direction they're going to go in, but this to me, it looks like where this is headed. So just as the event of 9/11 and the Patriot Act basically destroyed the Fourth Amendment for all practical purposes, I see this doing the same thing for the First Amendment, where you're going to be held accountable. You just don't, that's done. What do you mean, GPD? Just don't spread disinformation. Just don't be spreading lies. Of course, the big ugly elephant in the room is who gets to determine what is true and not. If you're going to be held accountable for spreading things that are untrue, somebody has to be the arbiter of truth. Get three guesses of who that's going to be. No, we've seen this thing where they're just itching to get some sort of European or British-like speech laws, especially concerning anti-Semitism. You go back and you see the step-by-step. When Trump was cracking down on these college students, why, if you're here from another country, for now, if you're here from another country and you're protesting against Israel, that's anti-Semitism. It's not going to be allowed and we're going to kick you out of the country. Only an idiot would think it's going to stop there. Now we have this event. And why, if this guy has been radicalized online, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? This guy was radicalized online. We got to stop the radicalizing online. Got to stop the misinformation. We got to fight the Muslims over there before they come over here, or whatever the hell nonsense they want to tell you. The Republican governor cited as evidence engravings on bullet casings found on the right. I'm sorry. This is one of those things I'm going to tell you. For me personally, how in the hell do they have all these? They always have these engravings on the bullet casings. The engravings on the bullet casings found in the rifle that authorities believe was used in the attack, as well as chat app messages attributed to the suspect that a roommate shared with law enforcement. See, here's another problem. If you have a handwritten thing, then you can look and see whether or not that matches that person's handwriting. When it's on the internet, there's no way to know if that person wrote that or not. You can sit there and say, well, it came off of their phone and knew it had to unlock the phone and this and that. But it's absolutely impossible to verify that that person wrote something on the internet. You just can't. You know, I mean, look, somebody could go on right now onto a website and post something in your name and give your name and say, this is me and this is what I'm advocating for. And it's not you. It cannot be proven that that is you. Now, the government is liable to treat it as though it was you, which raises serious concerns. But there's no way. It's kind of curious that this all happens in the backdrop, with the backdrop that they've been pushing for these internet ID laws. Biometrics. You know, they did a big on these biometrics. Those of us that look at things through the lens of reality aren't real big on biometrics because we see where that's going. Biometrics, you got to use your face scan to be able to post anything on the internet. You see, that way we know it was you or not posting these things. See where this is all pushing. I really think so far from what I've seen, and this is still fairly early on, I see the aim with this event in the aftermath is going to be to do to the First Amendment what the Patriot Act and 9/11 did to the Fourth Amendment. Now, I want to jump to another story because conservatives are doing what conservatives do best, defending my principles, which always wind up meaning, don't you dare to fight back. Trump supporter slams Charlie Kirk fans for trying to cancel celebrating liberals. It's freedom of speech. A growing number of conservatives are voicing alarm over an aggressive campaign to track down and expose liberals who've posted vile comments about slain activist Charlie Kirk. This is the... of course, this story is going to be about a literal who. I have no idea who this person is. Don't know. Don't really even give a shit. But I picked this story out because this is such a conservative thing. More principle. Conservatives are the most absolute, bless their hearts, you know, because there are good people. You're run-of-the-mill people who say, well, I'm a conservative, that you might know in your real life, in your family, your town or whatever. You know, a lot of them are salt of the earth. They're well-meaning, good people. But conservatism, you know, these conservative, quote-unquote, influencers and whatnot, they're gatekeepers. They never, ever successfully, what have they stopped? What have they conserved? Remember back when they were supposedly against gay marriage and now they're all for it. And here we go again. Their insensitive and cruel comments have raised an internal debate about whether the retaliation effort is morally justified or dangerously hypocritical. Among the loudest critics is conservative commentator and literal who, I would say, Rachel DeBono, who took to Instagram to question whether the right's efforts to get political opponents fired from their jobs are Christian or even consent with or even consistent with conservative values. Bitch, don't tell me about being Christian. Look, and I'm not condemning or condoning people doing this. I'm really, to be honest, I'm more or less ambivalent over it. But, you know, Skank, no, let's put this a different way. I want to be nice. I, as a Christian believer myself, y'all know I am. Don't come at me with, that's not Christian. Shut the hell up. I how do you feel about a woman shouldn't be allowed to speak in church? I'm sure you're very much against that as your value. So shut the hell up and don't lecture me about that's so unchristian. DeBono argued that it was not and warned that conservatives indulging in this kind of cancel culture were in fact betraying their own principles. That is the conservative line, isn't it? My principles. Look, you got to have principles, yes. But do you ever notice conservative principles always mean that when the other side has set the rules as being A, B, and C, not D, E, and F, conservatives still maintain. It would be like, to use an American sports ball analogy, you know, they're trying to play football against this other team and the other team just completely ignores the rules. And of course, has run up the score 100-something to nothing. And somebody on the conservative team says, well, this is the way they're going to play. Then this is how we play. No. We have to follow the rules. Otherwise, we lose. But you're losing now. This is why I have an utter disdain for conservatism. Again, I'm not talking about run-of-the-mill normal people you run into in your life who are quote-unquote conservatives. Most of them use that word because they don't have a better term to identify as. And these might be great salt-of-the-earth type of people. But conservatism and those who gatekeep in conservatism, I have just absolute scorn for them. They cannot point to a single thing that they've conserved. You know, look, and I'm not saying that doxing liberals and getting them fired from their jobs is actually going to accomplish anything. But it's stupid to sit here and talk about moral principles and we can't do the things they do. Bitch, y'all haven't conserved anything. If you can point to one thing you have conserved, then maybe you have some authority, but you don't. Y'all haven't done anything. Y'all haven't been successful. Y'all haven't won a single battle in the culture war ever. And when somebody pushes back, you jump up to defend the other side. Why should anybody listen to you? Seriously, principles matter when you can point to your principles and say, this is what I've stood by. And because I've stood by these things, these positive things have come. When your principles are, don't you dare do to them what they do, because, you know, that would just be unfair or something. The other side gets a say. Look, in a conflict, the other side gets a say. This is, imagine this woman is your mom and you're a child in school and you're being bullied. And you come home with a black eye because every other day the bullies in your school kick the shit out of you. And this woman's answer is, don't be like them. If you fight back, you're no different than they are. If you fight back, just look, if you don't fight back, you win. And every day you continue to get your lunch money stolen and you get the shit kicked out of you. One day you get enough and you knock the shit out of the bullies and punch them. Beat the shit out of one of them. And you come home and your mom kvetches at you. She's like, why is your fist bloody? Well, I got tired of getting the shit kicked out of me. So today I fought back. How dare you? See, now you're no different than they are. This is the equivalent of what conservatives do, by the way. And again, look, this, I'm not even saying this is some great thing conservatives are doing, but don't sit there and kvetch at people for actually pushing back. My point here is, when I started to have a point, and I kind of lost it in my thought because my analogy was so damn good, is the other side gets a say in what the rules are. You're the child, going back to this analogy, and you go to school and you try to do what your mom says. And you just don't fight back because she says if you don't fight back, they'll get bored and they'll leave you alone. But you see, the bullies get a say in that. The bullies aren't going to leave you alone, and they continue to take your money and kick the shit out of you. It doesn't matter what you do. The other side gets a say so. Does that make sense? You know, saying, oh, we have to stand by my principles or else we lose. This is so conservative. When the other side says, the rules say I can kick the shit out of you and take your lunch money, you pretending those rules don't exist because you're playing by these other rules, you're just going to continue to be victimized. And that's conservatism in a nutshell. I thought Republicans don't. Let's see, now you're Republicans. See, it's one and the same. It's one and the, you're either on Team D, you cheer for Team D or Team R, you see. I thought you were Republicans. Hallelujah, no. I thought Republicans don't like cancel culture. So why are you indulging in this cancer cultural vibe? I have to stop here. How in the hell am I supposed to take you seriously when you use a term like vibe? She said in a video message to her followers, people on the right need to be stronger. We need to be better. Yeah, that's worked out real well. Let them take your lunch money. Let's see here. Anyway, yeah, it just, we'll stop here. I don't want to go on because it goes off into random and more literal who's posting on Twitter. But it just says it comes as right-leaning influencers have been meticulously compiling names and employers and screenshots and doxing and getting these poor liberals fired. I don't care. I don't care. And no literal who, I don't give a shit about, you know, you sitting here trying to, concern troll everybody about my principles. And we'll go into our final story. Charlie Kirk's assassin is not cooperating with police as Trump reveals a lot of people are under major investigation. Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin is not cooperating with authorities, even as he languishes on a special watch inside Utah jail, as President Donald Trump said a lot of people are under major investigation for Kirk's death. Tyler Robinson, 22, was arrested on Friday in connection with Kirk's shooting death at Utah Valley University earlier this week. Authorities have said he has confessed to his father, Matt Robinson, that he had been the one to fatally shoot the 31-year-old conservative influencer in the neck. Matt, that's the father, who runs a family-owned construction company, then contacted authorities and secured his son before he could be taken into custody. Now, a couple of things here. For starters, you got to love how the media frames your guilt. Now, I'm not saying this guy's innocent, guilty, or whatever. We spent this show talking about the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and now, for a long time now, the media basically has trashed the Fifth Amendment. We are all familiar what it means to plead the Fifth. This guy is not cooperating at all with the investigation. You have to just, I assume from that, They're meaning he's keeping his mouth shut. And again, I don't know if he's guilty or innocent or anything in between. I don't have any way to know that. Nobody does. But I will say this. In the situation that he is in, again, whether he's guilty, innocent, or anywhere in between, keeping his mouth shut is the best thing he could be doing right now. But you notice how the media is insinuating there's guilt here. He's not cooperating. If he was innocent, wouldn't he be cooperating? This is a big deal because it puts it into people's mind. And if you were ever in that position, let me tell you, if you're 100% as innocent as wood-driven snow, you opening your mouth is probably not going to help your case. I mean, it's just not. I suggest finding some good, you know, lawyer videos to follow on YouTube. I'm not going to make any recommendations. There's several out there. And bring yourself up to speed on this stuff. Not because you plan to commit crimes. I don't think anyone here in the audience plans to commit crimes. But to understand that, you know, these rights that we allegedly have, which barely exist anymore, but there's still fragments of them out there, exist. You know, because innocent people, you know, you can get jacked up when the police and God forbid the FBI come around to talk to you. If they come around to talk to you, they're not there to help you. There's been cases, many cases, where innocent people wind up in prison. And 9 times out of 10, it's because they open their damn mouth and talk themselves into a corner. It's double so if you're talking to federal authorities. Many of y'all probably already know this, but I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. You're not talking to your... If you reach the point of something where you're being interviewed by the feds, you're not talking to the local sheriff's department or some cop giving you a speeding ticket on the side of the road. Those situations are bad enough as it is and can escalate out of control. You can sit there and tell the truth as best as you can, and if you contradict yourself in any way, shape, or form, even if they have to really kind of twist it to say you contradicted yourself, you're going to prison for lying to the FBI. And before you think, not me, General Flynn in the first Trump administration went to prison for that very thing because he thought he was high enough up that he could sit there and have a nice open discussion with the FBI and nothing bad would happen. Again, look, I don't know if this guy's guilty or innocent. I really don't. That's irrelevant. Keeping his mouth shut is the move. This shows he's not a retard. He's at least got enough sense, and because you can only imagine the amount of pressure he's under. He at least has enough sense to keep his mouth shut. And I just have to take issue with the way the media, and I'm not in any way, again, defending this guy, because I don't know if he's guilty or innocent. But I do have to take issue with the way the media always frames this, the fact that they're choosing to remain silent and not cooperate, as an insinuation of guilt. Because obviously this is a nationwide news story. And so there's no way this isn't polluting a potential jury pool. There's no way. The jury pool is being influenced right now. No jury is even close to being selected and won't be for years to come. But people read these news stories. They read the insinuation this guy's uncooperative. If he was innocent, what does he have to hide? You'd be 100%. Let's bear down on this because this really matters to us as individual people's functioning in this quote-unquote society we live in. You're driving down the road. You get pulled over for some bullshit traffic violation by a cop who's extremely badge heavy. You know, you pull over, the cop walks up, and you're thinking to yourself, I hope he's not one of those cops. I hope maybe I drew the lucky lottery and got a reasonable one, but lo and behold, you do not. This cop immediately, he pulls you over for whatever violation, immediately goes off on a fishing expedition, and some of them will do that. And in his fishing expedition, he says, do you have anything in the car? Any weapons? Any drugs? Any large amounts of cash? They'd like to throw that one in there because they want to steal that. Literally, they call it asset forfeiture. It's legal theft, highway robbery, literal highway robbery. They're highwaymen. And you answer honestly. You're like, no, I'm broke. I ain't got no money. I damn sure don't. Do I look like the drug man to you? No, there's nothing in here. And the cop says what? Oh, well, then you won't mind if I have a look around here. You won't mind if I take a look in your car. If you agree to that, you're an idiot. I don't know any other way. A moron will sit there and say, if you got nothing to hide, why wouldn't you let him search your car? Because you're giving a highway robber here the opportunity to look around your car. You're just going to trust that he's not going to happen to drop something there. And even if he doesn't do that, look around your car is not going to be some innocent shine around the flashlight thing, because he can already legally do that. They rip everything out of your car, leave it on the side of the road, and if they don't find anything, they'll say, well, okay. If you got any sense, you're going to clearly say, I do not consent to any searches, and they're going to put the pressure on you.
If you don't have anything to hide.
Anyway, what the hell? I'm getting off topic. It matters. Exercise them. What little bit you got left of your rights, you better exercise it. You're not going to consent. Now I remember what I was getting to. Just as you would not consent to let some rando cop who pulled you over because you have a tail light out now tear apart your car looking for a fishing expedition, looking on a fishing expedition to find something else to charge you with, just as you're not going to consent to let that guy search your car, you're going to keep your mouth shut because he doesn't have your best interest in mind. Another thing I don't want to leave out. It says here, what we just read here, Matt, that's the dad, who runs a family-owned construction company. That's real funny because when this story broke several days ago, I had read, and maybe y'all remember the same thing, am I crazy here? But the dad was like a high-ranking veteran sheriff's deputy. How did we go from high-ranking sheriff's deputy who's kind of connected to people in the area to he's just runs a simple family-owned construction company? Now, maybe he's retired and this is a new gig. I don't know. But I find it interesting there's no mention that this guy's in law enforcement. Now, he owns a construction company. Let's go ahead and finish out. Utah Governor Spencer Cox said on Sunday that the suspect is not cooperating with police as they try to identify a motive for the shocking attack. He has not confessed to authorities, Cox told ABC News' Martha Raddatz. He is not cooperating, but all the people around him are cooperating. Even so, President Trump has said that a lot of people that you would traditionally say are on the left are already under major investigation in connection with Kirk's assassination. He's previously blamed leftist rhetoric for helping to fuel the hatred that led to his friend's death and doubled down on those claims as he spoke with reporters at a New Jersey airfield on Sunday night. The problem is on the left. It's not on the right, as some people like to say, the president claimed. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place. That's the left. That's not the right. Cox has said that Robinson appeared to have become radicalized after dropping out of Utah State University. Well, I'm going to stop there because, again, if you fall for this is all about the left, this is all about the left, this is about the left, and if you fall for that and you were around when these same, basically the same people were telling us it's about the Muslim, it's about the Islamic terrorists, it's about the Muslims. If you turn around and kick that football again, I don't even know what to tell you. When Trump is talking about leftist rhetoric and speaking loudly about leftist rhetoric, ask yourself this, up to this point in this round of Trump 2.0, what is the leftist rhetoric that he's had the most problems with, that he's really tried to crack down on? You know? When Trump was in there the first time, and people on the, you know, nationalists and people on the right were getting doxxed and fired from their jobs. Where was he coming to their defense? Now in this Trump 2.0, yeah, he's cracked down on some of this quote unquote leftist rhetoric. But it seems to me, as I recollect, 99.99% of that were people criticizing Israel. Am I wrong? So when he comes out here and frames this as it's all about leftist rhetoric, and people fall for that shit, they're going to pat. Look, I really think what we're going to get out of this is a crackdown on the First Amendment. They're going to frame this up as, oh, it's going to be good to crack down on this leftist rhetoric. No, they're going to crack down on quote unquote anti-Semitism, any criticism of Israel. And you'll be just a couple years down the road, people will be like, oh, how did this happen? Well, because you fell for it again. This stuff is not. This stuff, it's not even that hard to figure out. You know, I mean, it's not like this isn't obvious what they're going to do. You just see what they've done in the past. You have these events. You've had these multiple events. And, you know, like I say, by events, I'm not calling them false flags. By events, I mean, think of them as mile markers on a road. And when you have an event, a mile marker in the road of where we're going, things after these events are never better. We've never had an event and then things really turned around. With the trajectory this country is on, do you think any outcome after this is going to be better? Do you think they're going to pass a law, probably name it after Charlie Kirk, and it's going to turn things around and make life better? They can use it. There's all sorts of directions this can go. They've already announced wanting to do this Palantir, you know, pre-crime, follow everything you do on the internet nonsense. And there's some pushback and people are like, yeah, I'm not really comfortable with that. Even normal Trump supporters are like, that ain't what I voted for. We're going to have, you know, and they use this event. You could wind up in a position where people who had a problem with it, all of a sudden, they're cheering for it. All of a sudden, they support it. There's no choice. We got to usher in the Palantir surveillance system and to make sure it's the right, we get the bad guys. We got to have digital ID and these laws against quote unquote misinformation, that'll be mostly anything speaking about Israel. There are any number of problems, and I haven't gotten into it because it's so much, you know, as I always say, you wind up conspiracy theorizing because you can't do anything else. They're not going to tell you the truth. There's any number, and I'm sure all of you are probably know what I'm talking about. There's any number of red flags in the story that they're telling us. And we always come back to this lone gunman thing. You know, there's a good article written here a few days ago. And, you know, basically alleging, and again, I don't know if it's true, but I read an article and probably a lot of y'all have seen it too, alleging that this guy, Charlie Kirk, that Charlie Kirk there towards the end here recently was trying to buck his Jewish funders. You know, he'd been funded. That's how the organization starts. You know, for years, he's been very pro-Israel, vehemently pro-Zionist. And then this article alleged that behind the scenes, he was trying to back out of that deal. When you sign up a deal with the devil, you don't get to go back on the deal later. And he was trying to back out of that deal. And it was starting to really question this. Again, I'm not linking up here. I don't know if it's true. Anybody can, you know, quote anonymous sources and claim it's true. I don't know if it's true. Is it possible? Maybe. I don't know. Again, I don't know. But this article claimed that, you know, he was raising concerns among the Trump people about the amount of influence that Israel has in the Trump administration's and Netanyahu specifically. There are a lot of other things that go along with this that I think raise questions, things with the weapon and all that. Again, well, I'm not, this isn't where I'm going to get into all that, and y'all are all pretty familiar with it. But we circle around to the same starting point each and every time. We know from their track record that the media and the government always lie, either by omissions, only partial revelation, or just outright fabrication. We start from that point and we start having to figure out where this is going and what's really going on. Little healthy skepticism can sure as heck go a long way. We need to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining today. Hope you got something out of the show. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots show. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. And we wrap up every week on Thursdays. Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday for his installment of the Daily Nationalist. Always worth checking that one out. Always worth checking out all of our content here on Radio Albion. So do appreciate y'all tuning in. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.